Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
My brothers and sisters, hello. I'm Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, with this special message for the leaders and the volunteers, all the participants of the 40 Days for Life Fall 2021 campaign. God bless you for being involved. You know, I've prayed with so many of you, not only across the United States, but in various parts of the world. And in the U.S., I've prayed in front of almost every abortion facility in the country over the last 30 years as my work with Priests for Life has unfolded. I was privileged, as many of you know, to be involved right from the ground level with 40 Days for Life, helping with the transition of this marvelous movement from one local area to the whole world. I knew from the beginning that it would be a success. I knew from the beginning that it would grow and grow rapidly. Why? Because the people in the pro-life movement understand and have always understood that we need to be at the places where the babies are killed in order to be that sign of hope for those moms, for those dads, to be the sign of solidarity that we have with them. And people were doing this already and wanted to become more and more organized, more and more effective. And 40 Days for Life, of course, is accomplishing that. So I want to thank all of you that are involved in the leadership of this. I want to thank Sean Carney and Stephen Carlin and Matt Britton and everybody who's on the board and the leadership team and all of you that are involved in the various sites where these campaigns are taking place. We at Priests for Life want to be of assistance to you. And I want to just give you a brief reflection here about one of the spiritual dimensions of taking part in these prayer vigils at the abortion facilities. I've always said, as we face this tragedy of abortion, we have to change our lifestyle to fit the battle, not the other way around. We cannot shape the battle into our own image. We cannot fit the battle against abortion into the comfortable slots of our lives that we've already set up. It's too big for that. It's a gross injustice, as we all know, that's tearing apart the very foundations of civilization, and it deserves no less of a response than the founders of our country gave to tyranny, or that the heroes of the anti-slavery movement gave to the slave trade and to slavery itself, or that Martin Luther King Jr. and his team in the civil rights movement gave to the evil of segregation. They didn't adapt the battle to their comfortable lifestyle. They were ready to uproot their entire lives, uproot their entire agendas and ways of doing things, risk their lives, risk their reputations, risk their freedoms in order to pursue justice. It was worth it for our founders. It was worth it for Dr. King. It was worth it for William Wilberforce and those who fought the slave trade. And it's worth it for us who fight abortion. We are ready not to accommodate ourselves to this evil, but to disaccommodate ourselves. We are ready to inconvenience ourselves, to give time where we didn't have it, to give energy where we didn't have it, to put everything on hold, in fact, in order to save these children, their families, and our whole society. So as you sign up and as you get others to sign up for an hour of prayer or several hours of prayer or several weeks of commitment in one way or another, please know that as you inconvenience yourself, you're doing exactly what needs to be done to uproot injustice. Injustice itself is so intrusive. It is so upsetting, not only in the terms of making us upset, but in the terms of just throwing out of whack our schedules and our routines. So it is only natural that fighting this injustice means we upset our routine a little bit. We inconvenience ourselves a whole lot in order to respond to the moment. Brothers and sisters, responding to the moment, furthermore, is something that we do in the midst of a moment in the pro-life movement where we see a lot of victories. We see the boldness of states like Texas protecting babies from the time a heartbeat can be detected. And we see the boldness of the people of Mississippi who are in their laws protecting babies from 15 weeks. Now the Supreme Court, of course, is reviewing that law. The significance of this moment is that we may be about to enter a phase in time where the government and the law finally recognizes that, yes, we can protect babies early on in pregnancy. We can protect babies before the point of viability. In fact, when babies are more dependent, that's when they need more protection, not less. We're about to enter into a phase where we will have more and more opportunity to protect these children by law. As you know, that's an important part of the work of the pro-life movement, to protect these babies by law, to come out as we do in 40 Days for Life in person at the places where they're being killed, and a third big arena to provide that front lines assistance through the pregnancy centers for those who are tempted to have abortions. And then finally, of course, providing the healing, the hope, the consolation for those who've already made this tragic mistake. We shouldn't think of these major areas of pro-life work as being somehow disjoined. We shouldn't think of them being an either-or category. We shouldn't think of them as being that different. They really are expressions of the very same commitment and the very same spirit and motivation. It is not just, for example, the pregnancy centers that are the service arm, if you will, or the loving arm of the pro-life movement. No, standing out in front of an abortion facility on a cold day or a rainy day and enduring curse words from passers-by who are pro-abortion, that's an act of love. Working hard for a piece of pro-life legislation, that's an act of love. All of this is motivated by love. Otherwise, we shouldn't have anything to do with it. Of course it's motivated by love, every different form of pro-life activity. And all of it is motivated by solidarity with those unborn children and with their families. And it all reinforces each other. All these different parts of the pro-life movement, don't think of them as disconnected. You go out there in front of those abortion facilities and you are pushing in the same direction as those who are providing the pregnancy center assistance, changes in the law, and even the healing after abortion. We at Priests for Life, together with our friends at Anglicans for Life, coordinate the Silent No More campaign around the world. Many of you are very familiar with it. And there's a great intersection between 40 Days for Life and Silent No More. Silent No More is that group of people who have experienced abortion, either as a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a sibling, or some other family member or friend or former abortionist, and have found healing and want to share their stories. Sharing those stories outside of an abortion facility at a prayer vigil is particularly effective and important. We have encouraged and will continue to encourage the members of our Silent No More campaign to connect with you who are running the individual campaigns at different 40 Day sites so that the people who are there praying and the people who see you there praying will also see their witness and their testimony as they hold their signs, the moms saying, "I regret my abortion," the dads saying, "I regret lost fatherhood," the former abortionist saying, "I regret performing abortions." You know, I've been helping people who are ex-abortionists and former clinic workers of abortion since the 1990s. Dr. Philip Ney, a Canadian psychiatrist who has done the most research in this area, founded what is called the Society of Centurions. Doctors and also former clinic workers of various kinds who have, like the centurion at the cross of Jesus, dropped their swords against the innocent lives and are now sorry and are repenting of that. We have helped many of these people. We continue to do so. They come out of that business of killing, reintegrate themselves into a normal and productive life. Pray for them. Let's pray, of course, as we stand in these vigils for the abortionists, that they will hear that call of conversion and embrace the grace of God's mercy. Finally, we at Priests for Life offer you many different prayer resources. Go to our special website, prolifeprayers.com. And when you're there at prolifeprayers.com, you'll see that you can get my daily devotional, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. I know many of you use this book already. And then three little prayer booklets that can be very helpful at vigils and in your own personal use. In the Palm of His Hand, Prayers to End Abortion. In the Heart of His Mercy, Prayers for Healing the Wounds of Abortion, and in the Light of His Word, biblically based prayers for life. Again, all of these are at prolifeprayers.com. Friends, once again, I am blessed to be a part of 40 Days for Life, blessed to be part of this from its inception, and I thank the leadership. I thank all of you who participate. Let's move forward with the greatest confidence ever that God is bringing us the day of victory. I'd like to conclude with one of the prayers contained in the Palm of His Hand. It's at the very end of the book, Prayer for the Closing of the Abortion Mill. And I want to say this in such a way that it embraces all the abortion mills around the country and throughout the world. Let's pray. Father, all life is in your care. You have entrusted us to one another that we may show our brothers and sisters the same love you have for us. We pray then for the least among us, the children in the womb. Protect them from the violence of abortion. We pray for those who are scheduled to die at the abortion facilities in our midst. Save them from death. Give new hope to their parents, that they may turn away from the desperate act of abortion. Grant conversion to the abortionists and to the staff. Show us how we are to respond to the bloodshed in our midst, and lead us to the day when these places of death will be transformed into havens of life. Guard us with your joy and your peace, for in you, O Lord, life is victorious. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, may the Lord bless you, strengthen you as you witness for life during this campaign. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here. Greetings from all of us at Priests for Life, including our Executive Director, Janet Morana, co-founder of Silent No More, our Associate Director, Father Dennis Wild, our Youth Outreach Director, Brian Kemper, our pastoral associates, Teresa and Kevin Burke, who founded Rachel's Vineyard for Healing After Abortion, and all the other members of our pastoral team, Evangelist Alveda King, who has also stood with so many of you out on these prayer vigils and is part of our ministry. From all of us, blessings to you and assurance of continued prayers. I'm Father Frank Pavone, National Director. Connect with me on social media at Fr. Frank Pavone. And I look forward to seeing many of you in person at the prayer vigils for 40 Days for Life. God bless you all.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.